There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Indeed we are. We're live down here at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships, and we're keeping you updated with all of the latest in the world of sport. Let's go to the Premier League, shall we, and get a quick update on the early kickoff. Carlos van Rosenfeld is watching this one for us at the moment. CBRs, what can you tell me?
Tom, what I can tell you is there has been a goal in the North London Derby. That is correct. There's been a goal, 77 minutes played, and what I can tell you is it has come the side of Spurs. Harry Kane once again delivering the magic. 74th minute goal there by the Spurs number 10. Currently 76 minutes played. The score 1-1 at Wembley in this North London derby.
Kane equalising from the penalty spot after 74 minutes. Means that it is one apiece in that one, with around about 40 minutes of regular time to go. Let's get a quick update on the rugby as well. You keep an eye on that one for us.
Yeah, what I can tell you is once again, talking about North London derbies, it's all happening in the north of Johannesburg in South Africa today. It's the Bulls taking on the Lions, and the Bulls with a very, very comfortable 17-0 victory. Sorry, should I rather say 17-0 lead as they play in the Lions at Emirates Airline Park. A try by Dwayne Vermeulen and four penalties by Andre Pollard. The Bulls 17-0 up in that encounter. And then, of course, in the top 14, we got Racing 92 that are currently playing La Rochelle. They're leading that one very, very comfortably, 19 points to zero. Tries by Dominic Bird and Teddy Thomas. Two penalties by Finn Russell. And as I say, the team from Paris, 19, La Rochelle, 0.
Lots going on in the world of sport, and more so than down here in Dubai. Let's go to Ross Christ. He's keeping us up to date with the doubles final, which is ongoing on Centre Court at the moment.
Yeah, Tom, you'll be happy for this one, because it's the Brit and the American who have taken the first set 7-6. The team of Ram and Salisbury taking the first set 7-6 over McClellan and Struff. They're in the second set right now, and Ram and Salisbury up 2-1 in games. Struff serving up 30-15. So the Yank and the Brit get it done in the first set, just like they do on the radio, Tom.
Thanks so much indeed. We'll keep an eye on that one. Right, you've got plenty more to look forward to throughout the remainder of the afternoon and the evening, no more so than in the Premier League. Premier League action is back with a bang for us today. Obviously, we've got a London derby ongoing at the moment. Some of the big guns in action a little later on. And then, of course, live coverage of West Ham against Newcastle for you right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. We will be across the tennis final from 7 o'clock, but also courtesy of our friends at TalkSport, will also be across all of the goals in the Premier League as and when they happen. Dan Wheeler joins us live now on the line, all the way from the United Kingdom. Dan, thanks very much indeed. It is a bumper evening of football to look forward to in the Premier League. And your attentions are going to be down to, on the south coast, I understand, with the champions-elect, or would-be champions-elect, visiting the south coast and heading down to Bournemouth.
Yeah, all steady, champions-elect. I think Liverpool fans might have something to say about that. But yeah, the last 10 games of the season for Liverpool and Manchester City, the only real serious contenders now. Interestingly, Maurizio Pochettino this week after the defeat to Chelsea said that that is officially it. For Spurs, it was impossible. I think only Spurs fans really thought that that was likely. So officially now, it's between Liverpool and Manchester City. Of course, it's an absolutely intriguing tussle now. Looks like it's going to go right to the very end. And of course, this cat and mouse between the two is going to continue with City today at Bournemouth. If they win, which all the pointers suggest they probably will, given the way they've played and their history against Bournemouth, they'll go back 2 points clear of the Reds. Of course, they've got that not insignificant date with their Merseyside rivals tomorrow afternoon. So on paper, City, I guess, have the easier fixture.
Bournemouth, something of a curious egg throughout the season, wouldn't you say, given the fact that they seem to be a very different team, or certainly a different prospect, whether at home or away.
Yeah, totally. Away, they're hopeless, without wishing to be too impolite about it. They've lost nine. They've lost the last nine away on the spin. They've conceded 28 goals in the process. They've got absolutely hammered at Arsenal in the week. So they'll be delighted to actually be back at the Vitality Stadium. You're right, they are a very different animal at home. Just ask Chelsea about that. Unbeaten in the last 5 matches, 3 of those were wins, and 25 of their 34 points they've won this season have come at home, so very nearly 75%. So, yes, they're not to be written off or taken lightly this afternoon, and they will look maybe a little bit of an Achilles heel for Manchester City, because City have lost 4 times this season. Let's not forget that. Liverpool have only suffered 1 defeat. They weren't great against West Ham in the week either on Tuesday night. They had to have a rather soft penalty to rely on to win that game. And interestingly, they've dropped 16 points this season, Pep Guardiola's side. 11 of those have come against sides that are not considered part of the Big Six. So although it overwhelmingly looks likely City will win today, there's just something there maybe for Bournemouth, who knows?
Saying that about City, Dan, a lot of people are saying that this title race, obviously between City and Liverpool, people are favouring City because they've been there, done that, they've got the players with the experience that have won titles before. Do you think this counts in their favour at this stage of the race?
Yes, bang on. I mean, you asked me a few weeks ago, actually, where my money was, and I kind of said that I'd back City if I had to, precisely because of the reason you've said there. I think from now on, it's all going to be between the ears for these two sets of players, and City have been there, of course, last season, and they have the better squad. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Liverpool do have an exceptional first 13 or 14, but they don't have the depth off the bench. They've lost the likes of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain all season. He was very good last year before he got injured. Joe Gomez as well started the season brilliantly with Van Dijk at the back, but he's missed out. And they've really missed those two key players as well. Roberto Firmino's not been 100%. Salah was always going to struggle to live up to what he did last season, although this season he hasn't been too shabby. City, if you look at their bench, what they did on Wednesday, they were poor against West Ham, but what did he do? He brought Raheem Sterling and Bernardo Silva off the bench, two fantastic players who kind of helped change the game as well. Liverpool don't have the capacity to do that, and I know that City are fighting on all fronts. They've already picked up the League Cup. They're still going for the other 3. They've got the squad to do it, no doubt about it, and I think they're going to win. I do. I still think they'll pick Liverpool.
All right, it's time. We need to know the team news. What do you got for us, brother?
Well, I haven't got anything official, I'm afraid. It remains to be seen whether City will start Raheem Sterling and Bernardo Silva after their impressive showing off the bench, particularly when you think that Riyad Mahrez didn't take full opportunity of his first start for this year for City against the Hammers. So we wait to see whether those two will come back. John Stones should be back in the starting lineup as well. For Bournemouth, the real question is whether their top scorer Callum Wilson is going to be fit. He's been a huge miss for them over the last month or so. So if he comes back, that would be very good news for them. And they've also got David Brooks, the impressive young Welsh midfielder. He came back after injury from the bench last week, and if he's fit, then he'll probably start as well. So if they can get Brooks and Wilson back, that'll certainly strengthen their hand. But nothing official yet, but we're looking out for those key changes.
Just a very quick one from you, Dan, on another game that's taking place this afternoon. The not-so-far neighbours from Man City, Manchester United. They're up in Manchester against Bournemouth's near neighbour, Southampton. Story in the week coming through, suggestions from Old Trafford that the search for a new manager is over and the job is going to be given to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Is that just mere speculation at this stage, or are we hearing more rumblings towards that end?
Well, inevitably, until we hear something official, then, it is going to be guesswork. But it's all educated, isn't it? And I think, Solskjaer, it's his job to lose, isn't it, really? A lot of us talk about Mauricio Pochettino, but it doesn't sound like he's favoured at Manchester United anymore. And it's a compelling audition. I mean, he's proving irresistible, isn't he? Just look at the results. Now, whether you could argue, the cynics amongst us, that it's the bounce from the removal of Jose Mourinho and maybe the suffocating effect he had on the players, especially the likes of Paul Pogba and Anthony Martial, who have really blossomed under Solskjaer. There's still some concern or some speculation about Pogba's future, about whether he'll go back to Juventus in the summer. Apparently that's still on the table. But I would be astonished if Solskjaer didn't get the job permanently.
Really appreciate your time this afternoon. Looking forward to your match commentary a little later on. Bournemouth against Manchester City is going to be the feature game before, of course, West Ham against Newcastle. Give us a prediction, Dan. I know it's an unfair thing to ask, but Bournemouth, City, which way is it going?
I'm going away win. Surprise, surprise. I know their record against lower teams in the division is not great, but they have won all three trips here in the Premier League. They've won all seven meetings with the Cherries in the Premier League. They've scored bucket loads of goals. Raheem Sterling scored six goals in six games against Bournemouth. So, yeah, I'm going to be very, very brave and say away win.
Lovely, jubbly. Looking forward to that one. Thank you very much indeed for your time, Dan. Looking forward to the commentary just after 7 o'clock local time here in the UAE. Dan Wheeler bringing us bang up to date there with one of our feature games, which will be Bournemouth against Manchester City. But all sorts to look forward to between now and then. Of course, build up ahead of the men's singles final down here in Dubai as well. Just a quick one, though, from all of us with regards to the football from 7. As the goals go in, you'll be able to hear them here first on Dubai Eye 103.8, so keep it locked here on your station for Premier League updates throughout the evening and throughout the season. This is Dubai Eye 103.8. This is The Grill, and this is time for us to take another quick breather as we get back to building up 45 minutes and counting to the men's singles final.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Let's get on to some of the big sports stories of the day. You've got a look of shock on your face. Why?
Because if you're an Arsenal supporter, you are crying right now, Tom. Aubameyang has missed a penalty in the 90th minute of this game that could have sealed the victory for Arsenal. Currently, the score in the North London Derby, 90 minutes played, Tottenham 1, Arsenal 1, Aubameyang missing a penalty from the spot.
So who on earth would be an Arsenal fan these days? Hey, Arsenal, missing from the penalty spot after on the 90th minute as well, to see it still 1-1 down there at Wembley. What's happening in the cricket? 121 for 4 are India. They need another 116 runs to win from 20.5 overs. So that's what's happening over in the cricket at the moment. India needing 116 from 20.5 overs. They've got 6 wickets still in hand. Dhoni and Jadhav at the crease. Who else would you want at the crease in a situation like that one? We haven't really done enough on US sports yet. We sort of dealt a little bit with all things NBA, but what else? As you said, we're coming into March Madness, aren't we? It's spring.
Yeah, we're getting a spring. Punxsutawney Phil came out of the ground. It was Groundhog Day, so you know baseball is back in action down in spring training down in Florida. But the biggest news in the baseball world and the sports world in general has got to be Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is now a $330 million man, 13 years coming over from the Washington Nationals, heading to the Philadelphia Phillies, $330 million for 13 years, Carl Van Rosenfeld.
But like your contract at the local university, Ross Chris.
I could only hope to dream of this one day. But Bryce Harper, what does he bring to this team? He brings a great bat, a great glove. He is an all-around ball player, and he's heading now to my home state of Pennsylvania. He picked the wrong side of the state, though. He picked Philadelphia, and they certainly don't produce as many winners as they're used to. But hopefully he can change the culture in that clubhouse. What does Bryce Harper bring to the Phillies? Here you go.
Breaking news, Bryce Harper is a Philadelphia Philly.
Now the pitch. Swing and a drive to deep center field. Off hand back. Going. Gone. Goodbye. He's done it again. He's hit a walk-off home run against the Phillies for the second time this season. You can't run on Bryce Harper. You cannot run on Bryce Harper.
Swinging a fly ball right field. Harper playing deep, moving in, now tearing in, and goes into a slide, and he makes the catch.
Swing and a line drive, slicing into left, base hit. Harper trying for two, throw too late. A hustle double for Bryce Harper, who never stopped out of the box.
Runner is going. Pitch taken for a strike, throw down, not in time.
Swing it up, base hit. Bryce Harper
chumps a single into right field for the game-tying hit.
And there you have it, Bryce Harper moving from the Washington Nationals to the Philadelphia Phillies. He signs for 13 years. That'll leave him under contract to 2031. He's going to be making $330 million in this contract. That's an average salary of $25.3 million a year. There's only one man in sport who demands a higher contract right now. Can either of you name who it is?
LeBron.
Nope, not LeBron.
Who?
Not LeBron.
Justin Verlander.
Nope. Canelo Alvarez's five-year boxing contract pays him $365 million, and he makes $73 million a year on that contract. So congratulations to Bryce Harper. Hard work pays off. 13 years, $330 million. That is quite the contract there, Tommy.
We're going to have to speak to Tom about a pay increase.
We will need to speak to him about a pay increase. Elsewhere, guys, we're gearing up for the NFL draft as Paul Espy joins us on the set here. The Arizona Cardinals have the number one pick because they went 3-13 last year. They're followed by the San Francisco 49ers, then the New York Jets and the Oakland Raiders, Tampa Bay Buccaneers in fifth place, and the Giants are in sixth place. Draft position. So the two New York teams are in the top six in the picks. So everyone's wondering, do you want to play in Arizona or would you rather fall further and go to the Big Apple? One of the guys that they're looking for is Kyler Murray. He's won the Heisman. Where will this guy go? He doesn't mind playing in New York.
You know, like you said, OB, Shep, Evans, Saquon. I think, you know, me in that system or with those guys can be very dangerous. And, you know, at the same time, I don't get to choose where I go. So, you know, if that was the case, I would love to be in that situation. Love to be in New York. But at the end of the day, like I said, I don't pick myself. So it's the final decision. I'm here. I'm ready to go. I was born a football player. I love this game. And, you know, there's no turning back. When I made this decision, it was, you know, I'm 100% in. I believed, yes. I mean, I knew I was over 200. You know, whether or not I was going to be 5'10 or not, I haven't measured myself. So, was it a surprise? No. But I didn't know what they were going to say, honestly.
You hear Kyler Murray there of the Oklahoma Sooners. He's gearing up for the NFL draft. He might be the first person since Charlie Ward to be drafted in both the first round in the NBA, the MLB draft and the NFL draft. He spurned the Oakland Athletics to try his luck at American football in the big leagues. Elsewhere, Dwayne Haskins, the Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback, widely regarded to be the second best quarterback available in the draft, also has his eyes on the Big Apple.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in New Jersey, I grew up a Giants fan, so it would be a dream come true as far as being able to go back home where my family is and play for that great franchise, a lot of, you know, really great skilled players. So either way, happens throughout this process, I'm just going to be excited to be in the NFL. So, I mean, of course, New York would be a great spot for me. I feel like I was ready to be an NFL quarterback, thought I was pro ready, and that I showed I needed to show on film and on the field to show that I'm ready to make that jump. It wasn't a hard decision. I knew that before the season started that I had the talent to go play in the NFL. I just had to put it out on film, put it on the field.
So you hear it right there. Thursday, April 25th will be the NFL draft, and it will conclude on Saturday, April 27th. It is 7 rounds, so if you want to get up and watch your favorite team pick their players from the college ranks, tune into that. And now, just to kind of paint the picture, guys, how this NFL draft system works, the worst teams in the NFL league from the previous season get the best pick of the college players. So if you're like the Arizona Cardinals and you only won 3 games last year, you get the best pick in the draft. It's the NFL's way of trying to keeping the competition level a little bit fair. I mean, we see this in a lot of American sports, but I'm telling you, a ton of people tune into the draft. It's very, very exciting, and you can guarantee yourself one thing when you tune into that draft on April 25th. Whoever the Cleveland Browns pick, their fans will boo him. It's a tradition every single year. It's quite unique and remarkable. So get up for that one, Tom.
Looking forward to all that. Big thanks to Ross Crist for that one. Right, we have a result for you. The doubles final has come to a conclusion. I can tell you that it is Rajiv Ram and Joe Salisbury, the American and the British pairing, the fourth seed in the men's doubles tournament, who have prevailed. They have won this one in straight sets, so we will now get set for the singles final. A lot more to talk about on that one. Over to you, Christo.
Talking about results, Tommy, what I can tell you is the North London Derby has ended in a draw. Tottenham 1, Arsenal 1. But the big talk of the game would, of course, be the 91st minute missed penalty by Aubameyang, and that costing Arsenal from victory today. If we currently look at the log, Arsenal sitting just behind Spurs on 57 points, Spurs on 61 points, Manchester United on 55 and Chelsea on 53. It's all hotting up for the third and fourth place in the Premier League.
Lots to look forward to, and the anticipation just gets jolted up a little bit higher down here at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championship. Stay tuned as we continue the build-up ahead of the men's final, which is coming away in just a few moments' time. We've been hearing from both of the contenders in just over the last couple of hours. We'll continue that build-up with more. Let's reflect on the extraordinary career of a certain Roger Federer now as we continue our build-up ahead of the final. We'll see him try and become just the second man to go over 100 ATP tournament titles.
Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic began as the established star versus the upstart.
It's a tricky matchup, especially against young players, you know, who take a lot of chances, who are new, who I don't know so well.
The young Serb was keen to make an impression, but the world number one was indifferent.
I wouldn't want to feel I couldn't compete with the newer generation, but I can. It's not a problem to me.
The rivalry began.
I kind of got used to being the overwhelming favorite over and over again.
I know that a lot of people see me out already, you know, see Roger as a winner tomorrow, but I'll make sure that he has a tough one.
In 2007, Federer recorded his only win over Djokovic at the Australian Open. The pair contested the US Open in the same year, with the heir apparent in his first ever Grand Slam final. After Federer's semi-final win over US champ Andy Roddick, the mood in the press room was ominous.
This was definitely one of my best matches I've ever played. No one forced there, it's just winners, you know, and that's when it all of a sudden just goes by itself, you know, you don't ask yourself any more questions. I mean, it's incredible to do it against a top guy, you know, big court on a big occasion, so I just hope now that I can keep it up one more match.
His opponent in the final this time around was Chile international Fernando Gonzalez. But the crowd turned up to be dazzled by one man. All Gonzalez could do was hail a great champion after succumbing in straight sets.
Emotion overcomes him as he takes his 10th Grand Slam championship and his third in Australia.
He makes tennis very simple, and when he have a chance, he take it, you know. And it's tough to play to the player like him.
I've beaten him 9 times out of 9, and it wasn't ever a goal for me, you know, to win a slam without dropping a set. And all I care is in the end, you know, to hopefully hold that trophy.
Lifting the Australian Open trophy in 2007 was the perfect start to the year. It was his 10th major title, and Federer became the first man since Bjorn Borg in 1980 to win a Grand Slam without dropping a set.
I mean, all these Grand Slams since 2003, that's what really, for me, is really scary, you know, how many I've won. If somebody told me I win 10 Grand Slams from mid-03 till today, I would never thought there was any chance of doing something like that.
And if you have other bad years, like in just 2 slams per year, that means that in 5 years you will have 20.
I like your thinking. You're worried and I'm leaving, and then you're seeing like the 20 already. You know, it's great to be only halfway then.
The triumph marked the start of a winning spree, claiming the 2007 Wimbledon and US Open titles, making him the only man to perform the triple feat 3 times. In 2008, Djokovic and Federer met in the semi-final, and it was game on even before they hit the court.
I've been playing amazing tennis, probably the best tennis of my life. Playing a semi-final in a Grand Slam has become my routine. Now he's being number one player of the world for a while, and the players, started playing in a different way against him, you know, with a more belief that they can win. So it's a good thing for all of us.
I have absolutely no problems with what Alex been saying or apparently been saying, and I really don't care. I look forward to playing my best tennis against Novak Djokovic. I look forward to playing to win, you know, and that's what my mindset is, really.
Djokovic dealt the world number one a crushing defeat in three sets. It was the first time Federer had missed a final since Roland Garros in 2005. He had featured in the last 10, winning 8 of them.
The defending champion is on his way. His streak in Melbourne is over.
It's not possible that only one tournament is changing the history. Of course, I mean, I played amazing tennis here, so I think I absolutely deserve to win even against him in the semifinals. And, you know, he accepted it in the right way. And sure, he's going to come back in a big style. Of course, he's still planning to be the best player in the world.
Djokovic went on to win his first slam against Joe Wilfried Tsonga.
That was probably the biggest springboard I had in my tennis career. The time when I started believing that I can really win slams and beat the best players in the world.
For the first time, Novak Djokovic is a Grand Slam champion.
When it actually happened, when I actually won a slam, that's when you really unlock all the potential that you have and the door opens up for you, you know.
His victory in 3 hours, 6 minutes ended a run of 11 straight majors won by Roger Federer or Rafael Nadal.
I think most of the players would agree that winning a first slam is always the most difficult one.
And while Djokovic became the first Serb to join the major winners, Federer's only Grand Slam title that year would be the 2008 US Open. The following year, in 2009, Djokovic surrendered his Australian Open title when he threw in the towel, trailing Andy Roddick in the quarterfinal. Off court, the heat went up a notch.
Well, I mean, it's happened before. So, I mean, he's not the guy who's never given up in his career, you know. So that's kind of disappointing to see, you know, when you got two top guys playing each other and you give up. I mean, he gave it up against me in Monaco this year because of sore throat. Yes, I mean, those are kind of things, you know, you wonder about. I think Andy pushed him there, and Andy probably would have run away anyway with the match. So I think Andy completely deserved the match.
I did have some retirements, but I always retired with a reason, so I don't see why should anybody, you know, take it on me in that way.
This paved the way for a Federer-Nadal final. A rampaging Rafa was on fire. But as usual, Federer showed plenty of fight. The Swiss master had never been accused of giving up.
Saw a five-set final with Max Follet and the big Pat Cash, 8-6 in the fifth set. We haven't been to five since. And we're going there now.
Federer levelled it at two sets apiece. But Nadal was not going to be denied his first Australian Open crown.
4 hours and 23 minutes. It's another five-set epic from the two best players in the world.
Nadal's first Australian Open crown meant Federer's push to match the Pete Sampras career record of 14 Grand Slam singles titles would have to wait. And the emotion spilled over.
God, it's killing me.
Federer owned the record by the start of the 2010 season, after finally securing a French Open trophy and another Wimbledon crown in 2009. Marking his 15th major title, he was now being touted as the greatest of all time.
Roger's record in slam speaks for itself.
It should be a cracking final. Federer and Murray in Australia in 2010.
Take a special performance to win against him.
Federer denied Murray his first major.
For the fourth time, Roger Federer will wear the crown in Melbourne, Australia.
The 28-year-old Swiss scored a straight sets win. This time, the tears were not his own.
I can cry like Roger, it's just a shame I can't play like him.
He became the first father to win a Grand Slam since Andre Agassi in 2003, and the fifth man in the tournament's history to win the trophy four times. This was Federer's 22nd Grand Slam final. Few would have anticipated this masterclass to be his only Slam success of the year. This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
That's right, this is Dubai Eye, and we are at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. And, well, Tom Urquhart's ran away from us. So Carl and I are going to take the reins of the show here for the last half hour as we build up to that men's final where Roger Federer will be going for his 100th win on the ATP. Amazing stuff out of Federer. But before we get to that final, we have some football scores, don't we, Carl?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you, or should I rather say, Ross, what I can tell you is the North London Derby ended in a draw today. Tottenham 1, Arsenal 1. But Unai Emery will not be a happy man. Aubameyang missing a penalty from the spot in the 91st minute to give Arsenal a victory. And then insult to injury in the 95th minute, Lucas Torreira gets a red card. So as I said, the North London Derby ending 1-1 there. And that really opens up the title race for the third and fourth place in the English Premier League.
Wow, sad stuff happening there if you are an Arsenal fan. Elsewhere, Carl, what about in the rugby?
Yeah, what I can tell you is, Ross, currently we've got one game in the top 14. It's Racing 92 taking on La Rochelle, and it's been plain sailing for Racing. They lead that fixture 29-7, so very comfortably in control. Looking at Super Rugby now, we go down to another North Derby. It's happening in the northern part of South Africa. Johannesburg is where it's happening this evening. The Lions take on the Bulls. It's 81 minutes played there. The Bulls convincingly in control of that one, 30-12, and a result that has kind of gone against the predictions of a lot of knowers in the game of rugby.
Elsewhere, back home, the Chicago Bulls defeated the Atlanta Hawks 168-161 in four overtimes. That's over 300 points in an NBA basketball game. That's simply amazing stuff. Trae Young leading the way with 49 points, 8 rebounds, and 16 assists. Zach LaVine chipped in for Chicago. The young point guard had 47 points, 9 boards, and 9 assists. And what was a marathon game. Basketball, it's in full swing back home, and it seems like it's in full swing right here in the UAE. We are now joined by a couple of people that are trying to bring it out here from the America to the desert. Neil Meyer, who's coached with the Spurs, the Nuggets, the Cavs. Sarah and Safe are here with Strike Sports. Guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
So, basketball in the desert. How did we get here, Sarah?
We got here in January, actually, didn't we? So our first day is today. We've signed a contract with NBA to be the first exclusive contract and school in the UAE. And we started today for the first day of camp, and so far it's going very, very well and so good.
How many people do we have participating?
123.
That is music to my ears, Carl Van Rosenfeld, because as you know, I love everything American sport out here.
Absolutely, you do. Neil, just looking at the kids that you've seen today, maybe give our listeners a bit of insight of what exactly are you guys looking for your numbers. I'm sure there will be a lot of parents that are listening to the show that obviously want to get their kids involved. I guess the idea is to finally take a protege from the UAE, take him over to America, maybe getting signed up for one of these NBA franchises. But what are you guys currently looking for, and also what age groups are you focused on?
Yeah, I mean, from a basketball perspective, we're really focused on growing the game of basketball here in the Middle East. And it's great to have our first partnership here with Strike Sports to bring the NBA basketball schools here and give kids a unique opportunity to really get NBA-style training. We have a really well-developed curriculum that we're implementing with the kids at camp, and also teach the kids about the values of the games, the sportsmanship, teamwork, lifestyle, healthy eating. Out of the school, hopefully we'll find some talent over time to give them a chance to maybe compete in our Junior NBA World Championship, and then maybe, compete for the national team here, or eventually someday maybe make it to the NBA. But it's all about steps and giving kids something to aspire to.
So today you say was your first day. How long does the program run for, and what can people be expecting from the program?
Yeah, so today we ran two sessions, first 6 to 11-year-olds, and then 12 to 18. focusing on fundamentals of the game. We really today wanted to take a look at the kids. We're here all week. We have 7 sessions planned. And just today was an evaluation of the kids, see what their skill level is. And then the coaches that are working with us, we're developing a session plan for each day. Today's was 3 hours for the older kids, an hour and a half for the younger. And then throughout the week, it'll be about an hour, hour and a half for each session. And then we close on Saturday with a nice closing ceremony.
Do you feel the UAE has got the talent? Are there some youngsters that you believe can make it?
Yeah, it was great today. It was really nice to see the kids. There's some good talent, some good skill. It looks like the kids obviously know the game and follow the NBA and follow basketball around the world. So to have a chance to see some of that was great.
Neil, we briefly spoke off air a little bit about your resume. Quite impressive. You mentioned Spurs, Nuggets, Cavs, you've all been a part of?
Yeah, that, Portland Trailblazers, and the Denver Nuggets. Fortunately, out of college after finishing up, I was able to get a job in the NBA, starting as a video coordinator and working my way up all the way to an assistant coach. So I've been around some great coaches and great players, and for me to be able to come to the Middle East and Europe to grow the game of basketball and transfer of knowledge to coaches and players is something exciting.
Saif, we know that Strikes has got a very well-known reputation and name here in the UAE. I mean, you're well-known for your Barcelona football school. Why the NBA? What made you choose to go into this direction?
In Strikes, we like to give the opportunity to kids here in Dubai just to experience different sports and in a fun and structured environment. So after working with Barcelona for over than 10 years here in Dubai, we approached the NBA because it's a huge and great brand that we thought it will benefit the youth here in UAE.
Looking at Strikes, what else can we expect from you guys? You guys are specializing in football, you're specializing in the NBA. Is there any other surprises that you're going to bring to this region? Because you really are doing a fantastic job for the youngsters in this region, those that are interested in sport, really, really growing sports amongst this youth in the UAE.
Yeah, there is a lot in our future plans, so we'll keep it till the right time comes, and yeah, you will like the surprises.
Now, we hear about the NBA. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, he has been trying to grow the game globally. What steps can we see in the future here with the NBA in terms of playing games outside of the United States of America?
Yeah, so the NBA obviously currently plays a regular season and preseason games in Europe, Asia, Africa. We're looking to evaluate the Middle Eastern market and globally to find other opportunities to bring preseason and regular season games to the region in the future. But also really about just growing our brand, getting kids and parents to engage with our brand and hopefully watch our games and to create an environment where we can bring the games here in the future.
We were just having the debate at the beginning of the show. LeBron James is at risk of doing something he hasn't done in the last 7 years, and that's missing the NBA playoffs. I just want to get your take on this, Neil, because we asked everyone, we opened it up to the listeners, do you think he can get these Los Angeles Lakers into the playoffs? Because currently, they're on the outside looking in, and he might be watching these playoffs on his own couch.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to spend a season with him in Cleveland before he left to go to Miami. And LeBron, he has the ability to continue to raise the level of what he's doing. You know, the Lakers are a young team right now, but they have some young pieces. He missed a little bit from some injuries. But I'm not counting them out. You know, there's still a little bit left here. They're right around, there's a lot of variation that can happen with the records being so tight. So I think he has the opportunity to get them there. If he can stay healthy, help lift his young players to follow through, they have a shot at it.
And Sarah, if people want to get involved with the basketball school, so we can tell our listeners, what do they need to head to?
Head over to us by email on sarah@nbaschoolua.com, and we would be delighted to help them.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. The whole entire team, we really appreciate you. We're going to retweet that, and we'll get that out on our social medias as well. We're going to go to a commercial break here at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
You're listening to Dubai Eye. We are live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. We are getting ready for the greatest of all time to grace us, Roger Federer, going for his 100th title, and we'll be bringing it to you throughout the whole entire day. But elsewhere, Carl Van Rosenfeld joins me right now. Tell me what's happened in the world of soccer, Carl.
Yeah, what I can tell you is, Russ, that the North London Derby has ended 1-1. Tottenham 1, Arsenal 1, but of course the big, big talking factor will be Aubameyang's 91st minute penalty, and Robbie Greenfield walked into the studio crying because he was in his fantasy league team. What coming up now at 7 o'clock, he goes Bournemouth take on Man City, Brighton take on Huddersfield, Burnley take on Crystal Palace, Manchester United take on Southampton, Wolves take on Cardiff, and West Ham United take on Newcastle. That is the late kickoff this evening.
And elsewhere, Carl, in the world of rugby, we have plenty of tasty matchups going on. What's happening there?
Yeah, currently in the Pro 14, Cognac taking on Ospreys. They lead that fixture 7-0, 7 minutes played. In France, the top 14, currently 52 minutes played. Racing Metro taking on La Rochelle. They lead that fixture 29-14. In Super Rugby, the Bulls have just hammered. Yes, they've just hammered the Lions in Johannesburg on their home ground, 30-12. In about 15 minutes' time, or should I rather say 25 minutes' time, the Sharks take on the Stormers. That game kicks off at 7:15 this evening. Those of you following Super Rugby a little bit earlier today, the Crusaders beat the Reds 22-12. And the Sunwolves, yes, you're hearing right, the Sunwolves beat the Chiefs 30-15.
Well, it is certainly the Roger Federer effect right now, right next to our live broadcast booth. Four nights in a row we've had of Mr. Federer, and everyone is lining up right now to get a ticket, to get an autograph from the big man as he comes by here. Carl, will he be saying hi to you?
I damn well hope so, to be honest with you. But yeah, they're all lining up here. The atmosphere is absolutely electric down here at the Tennis Village at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championship. And as you say, this is the Roger effect, Ross Chris. This is what it brings to a tournament. People, tickets have been sold out for months. And as I say, it's the dream final. It's the final that everybody was speaking about. Roger Federer taking on Tsitsipas. And the big question on everybody's lips is, can he win that 100th ATP title? If he does that tonight, he's only the second man in history to win 100 titles. Jimmy Connors, of course, leads that race on 109. Roger Federer been in 152 finals in his 99 matches that he has won. So, yeah, it's all for Roger to do this evening. He cruised pretty easily into the finals after beating Coric in last night's semi-final. So conditions still a little bit windy. He's been complaining about the wind this week, but the big question is, can he do it? I personally believe he can.
Extraordinary scenes down here at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. All sorts of shouty-shouty out there on the court, and all sorts of anticipation in and around the court. First time I've ever seen them bring seats into the Tennis Village. Now, that is just a testament of how many people want to get eyeballs on this game. A lot of people coming down here. Obviously, you don't need tickets to be sat here in the Tennis Village. Promises to be a much-anticipated final. We're just waiting for the final walk of the players as well. Two players who really have had interesting progress through to this final. One man who has left an indelible mark on the game of tennis during his illustrious career, and one man just setting out on that journey as well. He is the pride of Greece, and who knows, if he wins tonight, we might hear a bit more of this around town tonight. So, yeah, it is Tsitsipas, the pride of Greece, who will be taking on Roger Federer. Time for predictions, fellas, before we wait to see these two gladiators of the game making their way into the auditorium one final time. It is a big age difference between the two players, and two players who've had great success already in 2019. Two men who are getting very, very recognisable to one another, having played a couple of times already this year. Roger Federer, on an interview a little earlier on today, said that he would like number three to be his.
Yeah, and absolutely, I'm with Roger Federer. I think it will be a three-setter tonight, Tom. Federer needs to get off to a good start, but I predict that tonight we will see Roger Federer win his 100th tour title in Dubai.
Or will it be the young Greek? We haven't talked a lot about him, I suppose, because of the history that is at stake if Roger wins this title here tonight. He has had a tough progress through to this final, but he's one of the form players on tour at the moment.
Yeah, he's a big baseliner. He has a big serve as well, so that's what he needs to stick to beat Roger tonight, but he's certainly not going to have the crowd on his side, will he, Tom?
What about this crowd as well? I mean, I know I keep banging on about it, but it is quite extraordinary, the sort of sense of anticipation. I know we bring in big crowds for big events down here, but as I said, I don't think I've seen a crowd this big in all my time coming down to this particular tournament over the last 18 years.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Tom, and I think half the crowd, if not three quarters of them, are wearing the RF logo on their hats or on their jerseys. So yeah, it's what Roger Federer does. It's the energy that he brings to an event. And as you say, this place is packed to the rafters this evening.
Keep it locked here on Dubai I-103.8 as you will have Mr. Robbie Greenfield bringing you bang up to date with the action from the final, plus also the goals in the Premier League as and when they go in. The camera pans down as we get ready to welcome the two players who will walk the walk up into the tournament centre court in just a few moments' time. It is a history in the making. Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships men's singles final is coming your way in just a few moments' time. An absolute pleasure to be the official broadcaster of this year's event, as we have done in many years gone by. Hashtag DDF Tennis if you want to find out all the latest from the event itself. Robbie Greenfield will be in partnership with a number of tennis luminaries here from our broadcast just after 7 o'clock, so keep it locked here for that and all the other sports. Final prediction time, please, fellas. Carlos, tell us who's going to win and why.
Yeah, I reckon Roger Federer's experience will come through tonight. Federer in three sets to win his 100th title.
And over to you, Ross Crist. Which way do you see this one going?
I'm going to agree with my South African friend, and I'm going to say Fed in three.
So, Roger Federer gets the nod from the two fellas who've been on the grill with me throughout proceedings. Thanks so much indeed to both of you. Do stay tuned. As I mentioned, you will have all the latest from the final, courtesy of Robbie Greenfield and the rest of the team. Asa and all the team back at house, thank you very much indeed for looking after us, not just on finals day, but throughout the tournament, and of course all the crew back of house. Whatever happens tonight, Roger Federer has left his mark on the tournament this year, as he has done so many times before. In fact, Roger Federer has just left his mark wherever he lays his racket.
I'm actually very excited about my life after tennis. Not that I want to run into it at all, but I still hope that I'm also in tennis in some shape or form, just because it's this great game that has given me all these opportunities. And whatever that may be, you know, I'm really actually excited to see what's going to come my way in sort of 10, 15, 20 years' time.
I do enjoy the game a lot. I like to play tennis, I like to the matches because I'm a real match player, because I don't like to practice a lot. So
Wimbledon champion, you better get used to that.
Thank you. No, I was always joking around when I was a boy. I'm going to win this, and never thought possible to win a Grand Slam.
It's the five in a row here at the Open that make it so special, because I know how much Wimbledon means to me, and getting this one is incredible.
It is official, a changing of the guard at Wimbledon.
Disappointing for me, I am in the same time like the best player of the history, Roger Federer. So
c'est incroyable, je n'ai presque plus de doigts. Ça peut être ma victoire la plus grande.
Roger Federer is the greatest of all time, bypassing this gentleman to my right and this my great rival there, and yourself, obviously.
Des grands matchs, mais c'était certainement des meilleurs qu'on a eu l'un contre l'autre, surtout ça se finit en soirée avec une ambiance pareille. Alors je pense que c'était vraiment quelque chose d'extraordinaire.
Beating Roger here on his court where he is a legend. Thank you for letting me win today.
To share my admiration for Roger, knowing that you're playing against probably the best player in the history of the game.
Remarkable.
Mais c'est vrai que de revenir dans un match de 7-0 à Wimbledon sur le court central, je crois que je ne l'ai jamais fait d'avant, c'est un moment fantastique dans ma carrière.
17-time Grand Slam champ announced that he'd be out for the rest of the season.
Almost made it. It's almost going to be easy to play tennis.
I'm back. Did you guys miss me?
Rafael Nadal a demandé le challenge. Oh, Roger Federer remporte son 18e titre. Quel moment, c'est extraordinaire. Roger Federer, pratiquement 5 ans après son dernier titre du Grand Chelem.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.